in what appears to be a dressing room where some interviews have been done, but only this one at the moment. I'm standing with Olivia Solon, Associate Editor of the Wired UK or Wired?
Wired.co.uk.
Excellent. You've just not long stepped off the stage. I found myself nodding, dropping the occasional wow, really chuffed to hear quite a positive finale for some technological advances, which must scare the audience here in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about how robots could potentially take over from journalists, and there are a number of technologies out there that can actually write stories and replace some of the work that journalists do. However, I concluded that there are still lots of places where journalists can add value and can create wonderful stories, and we need to focus on that rather than the kind of regurgitated, rehashed, dry, commoditized news.
There seems to be an awful lot of, I guess, web journalism that may or may not be journalism. It is dependent on whether they really can write these articles super fast and get them out there. Why is this happening primarily?
Well, people are chasing traffic and they're chasing targets. And I know that there are some other publications that have very, very aggressive traffic targets in order to meet the ad revenues that they've promised to meet. And sometimes this doubles every year, and that's just not sustainable. And so it's kind of understandable why journalists end up kind of churning out these stories, A, at a very, without very little research, and B, kind of courting these, what I call kind of slaggy traffic, but this kind of, these keywords that they just know are going to get attention. I mean, if you write a story about Justin Bieber, you'll get traffic, but is that right for your brand? And in lots of cases, you see this kind of brand like becoming very flabby and nebulous as people try to accommodate these stories that might get them the traffic they need.
How many articles did journalists used to have to write in a day, and how many are some of them having to do now?
Well, I guess if I think back to when I started in journalism, I worked for Media Week, which was a weekly news magazine, but it did have a website where we put up, I think it was at the time, 5 stories a day with a news team of about 10, I think. And you had to write a number of different stories every week, and you'd take quite a lot of time over them, and the features might take a full day. But now, I mean, some of my colleagues at Wired used to work at publications where they had to churn out up to 10 stories a day. At Wired, we do kind of up to 4, but it could be just one on the website. It could be just one. And then on the magazine, they spend months crafting 6,000-word epic articles.
And I guess you can have a lot more satisfaction in your work if you know that when you've let it go, it's as it should be.
Yeah, exactly. And when you've spent that time writing something rather than just bashing something out, for want of a better description. Occasionally there are times when they don't get picked up, but when you've put that work in and you're really proud of it, it's even more exciting when that gets traffic because of the the investigative journalism that you've employed, or many people that you've interviewed, as opposed to just you've used a keyword that's hot right now.
When I was reading about some of the algorithms in place from the company doing a lot of kind of robotic journalism called
narrative science,
I thought, well, I guess it's because it's mostly data-based and they can look at results tables and say this sports event happened like this, and it's almost unidentifiable that this is a robot and not a human doing this. And I thought, well, maybe journalists are getting bored of writing those kinds of articles, but to me it seems more and more that it's a target overwriting this.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, but there are some cases where you just want to be that news provider of record. I think with financial results, it's kind of important to have reported them, even though it's really boring to write them sometimes. There's so many, Securities and Exchange Commission filings, and if you can aggregate them, maybe then you can build on top of that some interesting apps to interpret that data. But when there's this kind of news that's coming thick and fast, so if you miss it, perhaps someone who is interested in that particular item might go elsewhere. So I can kind of see why people do it with those certain topics.
For me, this algorithmic way of writing journalism, though, seems to be catering for the spiders, the robot readers, because human web versus machine web, I remember reading about how it was developed during Little League Baseball, I believe, and some of the articles came out so harsh because one team maybe trumping another, you know, annihilating them, and the kids were getting really upset, you know, we did okay, because the human would come in there and go, they stood strong against such an amazing competitor. Are we going to lose humanity in our writing?
I don't think so, and only if we turn ourselves completely over to the robots. But what is interesting is the narrative science have also introduced a new tool for reporting political campaigns and how the different presidential candidates are doing in the run-up to the election. And what they do there is they're actually gauging sentiment analysis from Twitter and actually including some quotes. If they're retweeted a lot, they'll incorporate that into the article. So it's becoming a bit more sophisticated than just robotic reinterpretation of data that's already out there. Well, it is data that's already out there, but not just here's some results, here are the minutes when people scored. So it's getting more sophisticated.
It needs to. It definitely needs to, doesn't it? I mean, I don't think robots still know the difference between it's the shit and it's shit.
Yes, exactly.
What else can humans be proud of doing better than robots? If there are journalists listening to this, banging their heads against a keyboard saying, it's all over, give them hope.
No, well, I had a kind of slide. I didn't feel I actually gave it very much attention in my presentation, but there are loads of ways that things that journalists do very well that machines don't. I mean, the first is interviewing. I can't imagine me standing here talking to a massive like machine made out of many, many processes. Even talking to Siri is incredibly frustrating. So interviewing, you know, knowing when to ask the right question, knowing when to back off. Just understanding people's kind of some of the nuances of getting information out of people, looking at their taste in clothing, looking at the objects that they have around them, all these kind of things that are just really difficult and for robots to do. Cultural references, cross-referencing music and history with what's going on in the present. That's really something that humans do very well, make those kind of random connections. And another one thing I mentioned in my talk was puns. As you said, it's the shit versus it's shit. You know, like, puns are exactly that kind of predicament, and I just don't understand how you would ever begin to program a machine to be able to understand the richness of language.
Thank you so much for your talk today. I'm inspired, and I'm going to delve more into this and wonder whether or not now I don't have to fear the robots just yet, whether I should maybe start fearing the clones. Who knows? Thank you so much.
Thank you.